You are listening to episode 27 of the FitzPro podcast, and oh my goodness, today is a subject that I have had a lot of conversation about outside of making a podcast about it. It is a topic that is controversial. It's a topic that might ruffle some tail feathers. It is a topic that you are completely entitled to have your own opinion and thoughts about. But this is my podcast, so I'm going to talk about it. And that is being a female strength coach, rather a strength coach who happens to be female, in a male-dominated field, how to navigate that, what some of the challenges are, and what we can do to negate some of those challenges, what we can do about our mindset. I'm going to share three particular stories from my experience in D1 collegiate strength and conditioning, and you know what happened in those situations and how I handled it, how it could have gone, and all of that. So it should be a fun podcast. I hope you enjoy it. And without further ado, let's dive in. The FitzPro podcast is your no BS approach to seeking out truth in the world that is online health and fitness. You'll see through the lens of the trainer, the trainee, and the entrepreneur. I'm your host, Annie Miller. Certified strength and conditioning specialist, entrepreneur, lover of sleep, lattes, and dinosaurs, aka not your average Fitzpo. And my aim is to help you grow your mind, body, and business through knowledge and authenticity so that you too can become a Fitzpro. So today I want to talk about being a female in the strength and conditioning space, whether it be in a college performance facility or a physical therapy performance facility or a CrossFit facility or in any space where you as a female are or should be considered a professional and you are dealing with people in person, typically in a team setting of some kind where you are having to earn the respect of both your colleagues and the athletes that you are obviously working with. So that is what I am discussing today. I've received quite a few DMs in the past few years, really in the past year, regarding this topic and some of the struggles that go along with being a female in the strength and conditioning world. I think I have told this story before, but as I was interning as a college strength coach, I also was interning at a performance-based physical therapy clinic where they were taking athletes and who had cleared all of the physical therapy tests, but they were by no means, you know, cleared to play their sport again. And we got them back to playing their sport. So we kind of bridged that gap. And when I interviewed for that position, I was asked how I had been coping with being in a male-dominated field. And that question took me off guard because I honestly hadn't noticed that I was in a male-dominated field. When I entered college to become a college strength and conditioning specialist, I did not in any way, shape, or form register that I was entering a field that was dominated by men. I just knew that was what I was interested in. That's what I wanted to be really good at. I loved the human body. And again, it took me off guard because I just never considered that I was in a male-dominated field. Now, I realize that I also had a pretty close to perfect experience in the college strength world. I think that part of that was because of the head coaches that I worked under, because one of those coaches was a female and a very respectable and reputable one at that. I also interned with two other females. And so for me personally, I didn't see it as a male-dominated field. In fact, the head strength coach at the time, who was a male, was actually the minority a lot of the time in our setting. So I didn't see it as a male-dominated field because my perception was skewed by my experience, right? And that goes for everyone. So you can't look at mine and be like, oh, well, duh, she didn't see that it was dominated by males because that was her situation. Right, and you see it dominated by males, potentially, because of your situation. Everyone's perception is 100% always skewed by their experience. That is just something about human beings, okay? So we have to make that a level playing field. So with everything I'm going to say today, I don't want to discount any experiences that you may have had in the field that were indeed in a more male-dominated situation. than what I have personally experienced. And I have definitely experienced, you know, belittling and maybe a little bit of, I don't want to say harassment because I don't really consider it that, but maybe you do consider it harassment. I've had situations, okay? And I'm going to share those today. So I do realize that it is in fact a male-dominated field. There are issues that need to be addressed, and that there's things us as females can do to have a positive impact on the industry while still respecting the males that have, you know, really brought up the industry for us to now be a part of, which I think is freaking awesome. So I realize this is also a controversial topic, or some of these things I say might be seen as controversial. You might not agree with them, and you might not think that it's necessary to do the things that I am going to talk about doing, but I challenge you to entertain these ideas and maybe even practice them and what in whatever your situation might be. And again, I want to make clear, I'm not discounting anything. I am not saying that this is all female strength coaches, that everybody struggles with this or whatever. I'm not using extremes here. I'm not using absolutes. So take it all with a grain of salt. Use it as you please. I am just here to share my experience and how I found success and respect as a female strength coach. Please remember that these are my opinions and my ideas, and this is my podcast, and you are choosing to listen to it. So you are absolutely welcome here. So let's dive in to the challenges of being a female strength coach and what we can do to work through those challenges and build a respectable legacy that we want to leave in this industry. Because if you are indeed listening to this podcast, I think that that is something that is also important to you as it is to me. So I'm just going to straight answer some of the questions and address the issues that I have received via DMs on Instagram over the years. And the first one is the one that is talked about most often for me personally, and that is clothing. Also, quick little side note. This is the first podcast I am recording at home in Vancouver, Washington. I live by an airport. If you hear planes, I have tried to muffle out as much noise as possible, but I am right next to the freeway and right next to an airport. So if you hear background noise, I am so, so sorry. I will look for a better setup in the future. But back to clothing. So like I said, one of the biggest topics that has come up over the years is clothing. And if we're being honest, I am sure there's no surprise here. I am going to go out on a limb and say that women are more attractive than men when it comes to their physical body. Again, that is my opinion. I think that as a female who is not attracted to females, and if you are attracted to females, great, good for you. But I can attest to the fact, and I've had this conversation many a times with just girlfriends over the years, that the female body is more enticing than the male body, right? Especially to a visual being. And that's been a common theme. Again, if you can think whatever you want. So anyway, what do you wear as a female strength coach in a professional space? Not during your workout, not on your own time, but when you are in charge of instructing and being an authoritative figure over other human beings, whether they are male or female. Now, most of my experience in a group setting, coaching athletes, was in a D1 college setting, and most of the time they were male athletes. At the particular university that I was coaching at, the relations between athletes and coaches were taken very seriously, and we had pretty strict boundaries set in place. And I realize that this will differ from obviously a college institution to, you know, a CrossFit box, and some boundaries are going to be different. The vibe is going to be different. The culture is going to be different. But in general, we at our institution were not allowed to wear tank tops. And it was advised against wearing, you know, tight leggings or tight attire on our lower half. And that was for males and females. I didn't feel like I was being singled out by any means. It was a level playing field across the board. The male coaches couldn't wear tank tops or muscle tees or anything like that. And the head strength coach at the time, Brad Scott, I mean, I never, ever saw him in a tank top. I have no idea what his body looks like underneath a freaking polo or a baggy old wrestling t-shirt when we were lifting, right? So we were told to wear t-shirts, which we were provided t-shirts, or polos And then, you know, professional looking sweatpants or pants of some kind on the low half that we could still coach and demonstrate in, but were not overly revealing. And that was for men and women. Again, that was a level playing field. I didn't own that attire or that type of attire. So I did go out to the Nike employee store and purchase two professional looking V-necks and some looser fitting professional-ish type pants that I could wear while coaching. That was not required. That was just something that I wanted to do because, one, I did not have black, gray, purple, white. Those were their colors. We had to wear those. They were sponsored by Nike, so it had to be Nike attire. And it was a free internship. I was not paid. So this was just me going out and spending my own money because I wanted to respect, obviously, their boundaries, their rules, and I wanted to look professional because I knew that I wanted to earn the respect of these athletes and I wanted to be seen as an authoritative figure. And I know that clothing and attire and how you carry yourself can help with that situation. So, like I said, went and got some V-necks, went and got some pants that I could coach in. Again, I did not see that as them attacking me or not allowing me to express myself or that they were forcing me to cover up my body or something along those lines. It was simply that this is how we dress in a professional manner and this is how we prevent shit from going down between or potentially going down between attractive female coaches or female coaches in general, male coaches, and the opposite sex collegiate athletes who are the same age potentially. And really, once you get over 18 years of age, like, there's charisma that goes into that, there's chemistry that goes into that, you're going to get along with some athletes. For us personally, we could have dated the athletes, right? I was in college, they were in college. Like, and if it's not a college setting, still, you just want healthy boundaries between athletes and coaches. And I personally think that attire can help with some of that. So it's a small thing that I think goes a long way, no matter what setting you are in. Take age out of it, take potential dating out of it, or whatever I just mentioned. What you wear makes a difference in a professional setting. So your situation could be completely different now, and that's where I'm coming from. Right, that situation was where I was coming from. So in my opinion, if you are a female strength coach in any setting, you should dress modestly. This is 100% so that you are taken seriously and that you protect yourself at the same time for anything potentially happening, right? We don't want to open any doors that we don't want open, if you know what I'm saying, whether it's between a female coach and a female athlete or a male coach and a female athlete or a female coach and a male athlete or whatever combination you want to throw in there, right? Like, look at other professionals where, or other professions, excuse me, where people are considered professional. They're not walking around in booty shorts or tight spandex or with their tatas hanging out. You don't see world-class gymnastics coaches wearing booty shorts, right? And the athletes in their sport basically wear a freaking bathing suit. So it's my opinion that you need to differentiate yourself from the athletes. If you want to earn respect right off the bat, an easy way to do it is to dress like a coach and not like an athlete. Super simple. Give it a go. See how it goes for you. See how you feel. See how the athletes react to that. You want male athletes to respect you and listen to your words, right? That's been one of the biggest things here. So not necessarily a struggle from female coaches to female athletes, but it's a bigger issue. And these are from those DM conversations. It's that female strength coach entering and the dynamic between her and her male colleagues and her male athletes. This is where most of the issues come up. So that's really what I'm talking about in this podcast, just to focus that a little bit. If I didn't mention it, that's where most of these conversations are happening. So you want those male athletes to respect you, to listen to your words and what your brain has to offer. Then don't give them something to be visually distracted by. I said it. I freaking said it. Men are straight up more visual than women. It's biological. Come at me. Or just actually please don't, because I'm not even having that conversation. That does not mean that you need to wear a freaking knapsack. Okay? And I don't care what you wear outside of coaching, when you work out on your own. But when you're a coach and you want to be taken seriously and earn respect by the majority, then dressing a certain way is a super easy way to start that, to build that up, and to earn that respect off the bat. Whether you agree or not, whether you think that that's right or not, whether you think there is something wrong with that or not, there's a reason that lawyers don't show up to court looking like a stripper. Okay? And for the love of all things holy, don't come at me with friggin' some stripper shaming argument. Just stop. Stop it before you even start. So that pretty much covers my thoughts on how to dress as a female strength coach in any setting. But yes, especially when you are coaching or going to be coaching men. And I think that regardless of what the dress code is, right? That is my thought, regardless of what the dress code is at the facility that you are working at. I think that you should explore dressing how I just described today and see how it goes. Wear t-shirts, wear polos, wear wider cut tank tops if you want to wear a tank top, wear looser pants that still, of course, look professional. You can still wear things that look good on you. I'm not saying, again, that you have to wear a knapsack. I'm just saying try a more modest approach to your clothing. See how you feel as a coach. See how your athletes, respond to that, how your colleagues respond to that. I think you will get a little more respect than you might think from the way that you dress. I just want to make the point again that I am not saying that, all female strength coaches are like failing in this area or something. I am just talking about the DMs I have received and those conversations. I just want you to explore how your appearance may or may not influence how people perceive you as a coach from the get-go, because first impressions do 100% matter. And I do think that appearance of coaches help hold the standard within a facility. That goes for both men and women. So next challenge, just being taken seriously, right? How can you not be seen as one of the guys? Because you're not a guy. You're not one of the guys. But how can you just be seen for the value that you provide? How do we break down that barrier and establish that authority? Not necessarily as a female strength coach, just as a freaking strength coach, right? That's what you are. My certification doesn't say female strength and conditioning specialist. It just says strength and conditioning specialist. So how can we as females break down some of those barriers that seem to come up with male colleagues, with male higher ups, with the male athletes? How can you be taken seriously? A lot of the DMs that I have received come from a kind of timid approach, if you will, an approach where they are probably entering the situation kind of gun shy, and that doesn't help their situation. If that's you, that doesn't help your situation. And again, I'm not saying that all women come into the industry like this. I'm just saying that that's what I've witnessed through some of these conversations. We don't need to be walking on eggshells because we preconceive that our value in the industry is going to be less than what a man can provide, right? That does us no service. And approaching the situation with that mindset does us no service. In fact, it is probably just going to justify that statement. And we don't want that. This is something that I personally didn't struggle with at all going into my internship, because again, remember, I was kind of naive, didn't know it was a male-dominated field, and because I absolutely understood the value that I could provide. I was super excited to learn. I was eager. I knew that I was going to learn a lot. And so it wasn't that I thought I knew everything, right? Confidence doesn't come from knowing everything, but it was that I was serious. I was serious about why I was there, and that was perceived right away. My strength coaches, after a 2-year review, actually made the point to say that, right when we met you, you demanded respect. And that isn't to say that I was like disrespectful or I was over the top or trying to assert my dominance in some way or show that I know everything. It was simply that I was serious. I was there to learn, plus provide any value that I possibly could to their program, right? That's what I came in as. And I guess somehow that demanded respect, which I'm down for. So how do you do that? Remember, we're answering how you can prepare for and navigate the preconceived notion that your word or value in this industry is less valuable than a man's, That's what we're talking about here. And my answer to that is to fully believe in your value as a strength coach, period, not as a female strength coach, as a strength coach who also happens to be female. When you believe that, and I think when you truly love what you're doing and want to learn as much as you can about it, you're going to show up from a place of eagerness, a place of servanthood, and a place of confidence. I get that it can be intimidating to start coaching. I get that it can be intimidating to start an internship, to work under someone you don't know, to worry about how they're going to perceive you, and so on. But I think two things go a long way, and that is authenticity and authority. These are what I preach both in the online space, and these are 100% what I preach when you're coaching people in person. What you tolerate is what will continue to happen. Okay, let me repeat that. What you tolerate is what will continue to happen. When you are speaking to your athletes don't speak, period. When you say to do something, they do something. And there is a consequence if they don't. Now, this is obviously going to be different whether you're in an internship or you're working in a facility. I am speaking in the strength and conditioning space. You're likely working with a group of athletes. And during my particular internship in college, we as interns were not allowed to discipline, which I think was totally fine. I think it would have been out of place. And I think it was out of our scope of practice for us to discipline. But if you are in a place where that is within your scope, you can discipline the athletes. I think that it's honestly just like parenting, and I don't even have kids, but you know, your yes needs to be your yes and your no needs to be your no, right? That's how we build trust. That's how we build authority and respect, right? Now, the authenticity part comes in with building rapport with those athletes. And this is something that I personally struggled with for a long time. My personality and just me in general, I can be perceived as very cold, standoffish, and, you know, serious and intense, which is why the athletes respected me. I'm sure it's why they did what I said. It's why they took me seriously, but it was also difficult for me at that time to build that rapport because athletes weren't allowed to know certain things about us as interns. And a large part of that was because we were the same age, right? We were both in college. We could have been friends. We could have been dating. So we had to have pretty strict boundaries with those athletes, and that makes sense. So I found it hard to build rapport because of that piece. And I honestly just thrive in one-on-one relationships. And so that was hard for me in a group setting. Now, other people that I interned with had no problem building rapport. They're just more personable. Maybe they were more confident in that extroverted group setting than I was. So whether you are an extrovert, whether you thrive in group settings or not, you do need to find a way to build rapport with those athletes. You can do that with having a game day that's more lighthearted, you know, when you can talk with some of the athletes one-on-one. You can talk with them in a pre-warm-up phase where they might be foam rolling or just kind of chatting with each other before the structure really begins. Or, you know, just things where you're checking in with them and caring about their life outside of being an athlete, right? We've got to find where we can make them know that we care about them as a person first and an athlete second. That is where you build rapport with an athlete, and that is where you build even more respect with them because they're gonna wanna work a lot harder for a person. They're gonna wanna listen to a person who sees them for a human being before an athlete. Again, all of that is going to depend on the situation that you are in. I understand that. And that's always kind of a difficult line, a difficult boundary to navigate. That goes for any male or female coach having a relationship with an athlete, those more intimate relationships. Obviously, those can open doors and those can get dangerous, and that is a real thing in the world of strength and conditioning. So if you can keep it about asking about if they're a college athlete, you know, tests, how school's going, what they're going to do when they go home for break, things like that, you know, that's building rapport. It can stop there. It doesn't need to go any deeper than that to build rapport with an athlete. Just show that you don't only care about what their statistics are or how much they back squat or whatever. Obviously, if you're in a box, there's going to be a lot more relationship going on there, but I do encourage having clear boundaries, because that is also a way that you are going to build respect with that athlete, and you are going to be seen as an authoritative figure. So I am just here to discuss ways that we as women can solidify our respect, our value, and our authority in this industry. So look for ways that you can assert authority, be consistent with your yeses and nos, while being authentic as well, right? So this portion might be repetitive, but it's like raising a kid, training a dog. If you allow athletes to speak while you're speaking, or you show up, or they show up to a warm up late, or slack with their technique, or their reps, or whatever they're supposed to be doing, they're essentially testing you, right? Okay, I can get away with X, Y, and Z when Annie is coaching. No. You have just lost that respect. Your authority has just been bumped down a notch with that athlete. And now when you go to reassert that authority, we have this inconsistency, which is never a productive thing to have as a coach, okay? You don't have to be this over-dominating, unpersonable robot tyrant of a coach. But like I said, your yeses need to be your yeses and your nos need to be your nos, and your athletes will respect you and thank you for that situation and that structure and holding them to that higher standard, because that just makes them a better athlete, right? That will carry over into their sport and into their life or whatever they're doing outside of the gym as well. So we have a dressing modestly, dressing professionally, and making sure that we show both authority and authenticity to build rapport and respect with those athletes, as well as making sure that we are representing ourselves as an authoritative figure and being consistent with our coaching, with our standards, and being careful with what we tolerate when we are in charge. Now I want to touch on the fact that your surroundings can also have something to do with this, right? So at University of Portland, as female interns and male interns, we were introduced as authority figures. And that does make a huge difference, in my opinion. So if the male coaches that are your colleagues or your advisors treat you as less or represent you as less to the athletes, and by less, I don't mean like under them, right? Like I was obviously less authoritative than Bradford Scott or Kat Wade, the head strength coaches, but we as interns were still to be respected and taken seriously, and that was established from day one. So with that, I also don't just want to discount that. If you show up and do these things that I am talking about, you know, you show up in a authoritative and authentic way, dressing modestly and providing value yet still being a student, but your higher ups basically open the door for those athletes to not respect you or to treat you poorly, then that's a whole nother issue right there. And that's out of your control. And I'm really sorry if you've had that happen, because that's super messed up. Now, what to do about that is not out of your control. If I had that experience, I would absolutely be talking to admin at my school or a higher up or whoever is in more power than that strength coach. I would be talking to someone above them, and I would be very serious about it. I would not just be calling a friend to complain. I would be in there to change the system, even as an intern, even as someone down the food chain. And maybe that is just part of my personality, but you need a little bit of that, I think, as a female in this industry, a firm or heavy foot, if you will, right? A willingness to stick up for yourself and make your value known. So I did just want to touch on that, because I realize that, like I said, I had a very favorable situation for my experience, and I understand that not everyone's experience is that way. And if you aren't introduced as an authoritative figure, as someone who is here to be respected by your head strength coaches or by your head gym coaches or box coaches or whatever your situation is, that it might take longer to earn that respect from your athletes. It is absolutely still possible, and you might just have to work a little harder and be a little more persistent and maybe have some perseverance, but the same rules do apply still, right? That doesn't give you an excuse to come dressed a different way or to sink to their level, right? Your standards aren't affected by someone having lower standards than you, even if they're above you in the food chain. You can still hold yourself to higher standards. So the next point that I want to make is that a thick skin doesn't hurt. Or I guess like not being so easily offended is, or offendable, is something I think maybe a lot of people need to, I shouldn't say a lot of people, I think some people need to work on being less offendable, but especially as females in the strength and conditioning world. I am not saying that you need to take shit from anyone, right? Let's get that clear. But I am saying that some of the DMs that I have received, and I hope that none of you are like, oh my gosh, that was my DM. She's talking about me. She's singling me out. It's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just saying generally around this topic, some of the DMs that I have received come from a little bit of, dare I say, a victim mentality. And I do think that is part of the problem for some female strength coaches. And remember, I'm not talking in absolutes here. I'm not saying all female strength coaches do this. I am saying that in some situations, I think that a victim mindset is part of the issue. I, for instance, did have situations where I was treated perhaps inappropriately, but I didn't take it beyond where it needed to be taken. Once it was taken care of, I was like, great, moving on. Some college boys are stupid college boys, and that doesn't change who I am as a coach or my value as a coach. It doesn't mean that every male athlete is like that. If anything, how I handled that situation then helps define my value and my seriousness in this industry. You get to choose how you take things, right? And how much of your time and effort and emotion and headspace goes into that. So I am going to share three stories with you where another type of personality or another type of mindset might have taken it differently or put more value into the situation than what it really needed to have. Okay, so first up, this has to do with the attire. So on day three, I think I definitely came in these like medium gray, light sculpting Nike leggings with a t-shirt, but like a decently form-fitting t-shirt. Anyway, my ass was on blast, okay? And I didn't even think about it, like that this was what I was wearing to the gym at the time, what I would work out in, this is what I wore to school, whatever. And the attire they had given us before that, like the standard of attire that they had given us before that was just like, wear Nike, needs to be gray, black, purple, school colors, anything that's not Nike, you can't wear. And they gave us, you know, a Portland Pilots t-shirt to wear. But other than that, the bottoms weren't really made clear as far as what we could wear as bottoms. And I was asked by the female strength coach, which yes, I understand makes a difference here, right? A male coach did not tell me I needed to dress more modestly. It came from a head female coach, which obviously was very well received by me. So again, that makes a difference. But if it was a male, I would still have to look at what was his intention behind that comment, right? His intention was to protect his athletes and protect me. So she was basically saying, you know, we're working with college boys. They're not all pigs, but let's not give them a reason to be pigs. Which I did not take like I was, you know, doing something incredibly wrong or that I was a piece of ass. I was more so just embarrassed. Like, oh my gosh, how did I not think about the fact that my ass is like beautifully sculpted in these freaking leggings on blast and I'm coaching 18 to 22 year old males. Part of that is that I had never coached males before, ever, in any sport. I had coached cheerleading for years and I had only worked with females, right? Female soccer teams, female cheerleading teams. And so my brain just didn't register that. I just didn't think about it. And so, you know, coaching males was a new space for me to navigate. And so I took that as like, I am so sorry. I do not want to be seen that way. I want to be seen as professional. Huge, huge learning experience for me, right? Now that could have been taken like, I'm just seen as a piece of ass, or they shouldn't be looking at my butt anyway, like the college athletes shouldn't be looking at my butt or whatever. Just I don't even understand that argument, but that's for another topic. So I think that if you have a problem dressing modestly as a female coach, like I said, wear whatever the hell you want in your workouts, okay? But if you have a problem dressing modestly as a female coach, if you feel attacked by that, I think you have some things to look at outside of this whole female in the strength and conditioning space, outside of what we are talking about right now. But anyway, that situation could have been taken a lot of different ways, and I chose to take it as my bad. I will never wear those freaking bootylicious gray tight ass pants again. It made sense to me. I could understand their logic as head coaches, that they were trying to protect me, trying to protect the athletes. So that is scenario number one for me, right? That just proves that attire can help mold that respect for you. It can help mold some of those boundaries without even having to verbalize anything or have anything written out, right? It can set the standard. So scenario number two is that there was an athlete who definitely joked around with me. Maybe you could borderline say flirted with me from time to time. He was a very well-known athlete, and I just shut that shit down, okay? I laughed it off the first time or two, mainly because I just didn't know what to do, and it was not necessarily uncomfortable in that he was, like, completely out of line or, like, hitting on me or said something super inappropriate. I just wasn't sure how to navigate that situation, but I could see where that was going to get dangerous, and that if I didn't stand up for myself and say something, that it was going to continue, right? That this was going to escalate into something that I did not want to deal with. I didn't want to put that on the head coaches. I didn't want to make something bigger than it needed to be. And I didn't want to, like I said, do that to the head coaches, right? Like, cool, they've got these two or three attractive young female strength coaches underneath them and 45 baseball players in the weight room that they are trying to keep an eye on. They do not need this shitstorm to happen, to unfold. So I actually, at the time, was dating Nate, and I got engaged when I was a strength coach at UP, which was helpful, but I wore a fake red wedding ring always. Like, I had always done that anyway. I wore fake red wedding rings to school, to the gym, to the internship, just because I like to be like, yo, I'm in a committed relationship. We are not playing this game. Don't talk to me. This is not happening. We're not going to be friends. Just don't. Okay? So I think it was like the third time that he made some sort of like flirty, just jokey comment, but outside of what other athletes would do, outside of other conversation that other athletes would have with me, right? And I was just like, look, you're charismatic. I am in a committed relationship. And even if I was not in a relationship, you interacting with me this way is not appropriate. This is what I said to him. And then I asked him, would you interact this way with Coach Wade, with Kat, the head female strength coach at the time? No. No, you would not. You would not even think twice about doing that. And I said, do you think it would be appropriate for a female athlete to interact this way with Coach Scott, which was the head male athlete or head male coach? No, it's not. I was not a bitch to him. And I thought about my response. That was a thought through conversation that I was going to have with him. I wasn't a bitch to him. I was just firm in that this needs to stop, and reasserted myself as the authoritative figure in that relationship. Remember, what you tolerate is what will continue to happen. And I didn't let it, right? I said, I'm not tolerating this. I think I let Kat know. Yeah, it was baseball. So I let Kat know that it happened just so that she was in the loop. And of course, then she had a much firmer conversation with that athlete to help back me up. And obviously it was not a problem after that. Again, I could have taken that a lot of different ways. I could have taken that and been like, you know, passive about it or never approached him or avoided the athlete or taken it as like a super duper over inappropriate or they don't take me seriously or I'm undervalued, they shouldn't be doing that. Whatever any of that is true or not, you are the person who needs to decide how you're going to navigate and handle those situations. I didn't take it as the athlete thinking that I was less valuable or that I am no longer an authoritative figure. That would have been giving that situation way too much value, you guys. He was a college kid that was attracted to me. That's what we're dealing with here, okay? And it was a responsibility, it was my responsibility as that authoritative figure who may or may not have been younger than him at the time, mind you, to handle that situation. To basically remind him that he knows that that's inappropriate. And I shouldn't have to tell him that. And that if it happens again, I won't be disciplining him because that's not my space. But I guarantee that there will be heavy disciplinary action from Brad or Kat or his coach or whoever deals with that sort of thing. I was not concerned with what his reaction was. I was not concerned if he was going to then feel awkward around me. I wasn't concerned if he was going to throw a hissy fit or if he was going to then belittle me when I made that comment. I didn't care. It was my job to shut that shit down. So that's what I did. Okay, so scenario number two, again, just giving you that control and taking things with a grain of salt versus putting a bunch of value into something that probably isn't packed with a whole lot of value, you guys. So asserting your authority, not being afraid of that situation. That's that like passive kind of victimhood mindset that I want to get away from as female strength coaches. You are the strength coach, period. That's why I asked him, you know, would it be appropriate for a female to do that to Coach Scott? Absolutely not. As it is not appropriate for you or a female athlete to say those things to me, right? Regardless of that situation. So moving on to scenario number three, this is one that actually a comment was made. Not about my body, but in response to my body and something I was doing. I was dressed modestly, by the way, in like a loose kind of golf shorts, if you will. Longer shorts, like a thicker material. I was coaching. So this is like, you know, a year into working with these athletes. They know me. I've built rapport. And I am demonstrating, I don't remember if it was a squat or a deadlift or a clean, something where I bent over. And okay, I don't care if I'm wearing sweatpants or professional pants or what, but when I bend over, obviously my butt is going to fill out whatever I'm wearing, outside of wearing a freaking potato sack. Okay, so an athlete asked me, a male athlete, asked me to do it again in an inappropriate manner, you know, with an inappropriate tone, inappropriate body language, a smirk to his friend afterwards. And honestly, in that moment, I froze. Like, is this happening right now? Did that just happen? And said, excuse me, in like a real firm-like tone. and that, fam, was, ooh, that was a hard one for me to not discipline right then and there. Partially because I had known these athletes, right? I know these athletes. I've been training them for a year. And so I feel like I have the right to discipline them, but I do not. That is still not in my scope of practice. That is still not my right. So I bit my tongue outside of the firm, like, excuse me, did you actually just fucking say that? Bit my tongue, absolutely fuming inside. To say holding this one back was hard for me is like the understatement of this century. So anyway, I told the head coach at the time, the head coach absolutely lost their shit on an athlete, like to the point where I actually felt bad. The athlete was suspended from the weight room and obviously then had to apologize to me one-on-one, which was the most awkward situation, but I obviously understood the need for that and I did appreciate that apology, whether it was forced or not. His level of embarrassment was enough for me. So that just goes to show you the standard that was held in that facility, right? They did not tolerate stuff like that, which was obviously to my benefit. I hope that that is the same situation for you. I hope that you feel protected in whatever facility you are in, whether it's a college institution or a CrossFit box or a personal training facility or whatever, if that is not your situation, I hope that you do have the right to discipline the athlete. I hope that that is in your scope, because I know that I would have taken serious action if that was my right to discipline that athlete. And maybe that's a part of the demanding respect and not taking any shit, but the issue stopped there. And I think that is where some female strength coaches get hung up, because they cling on to a situation like that. And then that defines their value, that, you know, male athletes don't find them valuable, or that they belittle them or see them as a piece of ass. And then they're afraid to either demonstrate something, or they're just bitter. They think that every male athlete is going to treat them that way, that everyone is out to not take them seriously, which are all lies. You guys, shit's gonna happen. Those things are not true in absolutes. You are bound to have some shitty situations, just like male coaches have different shitty situations. You are bound to have some things happen. It doesn't necessarily need to be that situation that I just described, or any of the situations I described, but an athlete at some point is going to disrespect you, and you are going to have to deal with it accordingly. It's naive, in my opinion, to think that that is never going to happen or be a part of your reality as a strength coach, whether you are male or female. But I have seen via DMs and conversations I've had with other female strength coaches, that they allow one situation like that to taint their experience as a strength coach, when their experience and their value as a strength coach is so much more broad, so much larger than that one situation, or even two or three situations. I think that in any field where males have dominated for the majority of time, we as women have to do our part to positively impact that industry, and giving up is not how we do that. Being bitter is not how we do that, right? You want to leave a legacy and to pave the way for women who are coming up behind you. And us approaching the industry with a victim mentality, with a negative mentality, with a woe is me mentality, or like we're bound to fail, does us no service. And again, that's not everyone, right? Some of you are killing it. That's not your mindset at all. But for those of you that have had some shitty experiences, know that that one experience does not define your career, okay? Doesn't define your value. So I don't think it's going to change overnight in any male-dominated field, right? I think it's ignorant to expect it to change overnight. But more women are getting into strength and conditioning and moving up the ranks and stepping into higher and higher and higher positions in male-dominated areas, especially once you get up into the pros and even D1 athletics, right? I think it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of intentional action via us as females in this industry to make the changes that we want to see. And I think that you need to build a little bit of a tough skin and learn to take things with a grain of salt if we want that to happen. So it is not to say that we do not have to hold males accountable, because I 100% think that we do, right? Like in one of my DMs that I got, a girl and I were talking about how she should dress and kind of to assert her authority in situations, how she can do that. And I felt bad for her because the head male coach that she was working under was kind of a douchebag, kind of a bro, didn't really have a lot of standards. And I straight up told her, you know, if you can, don't take that internship. You don't want to work for him. You don't want to represent him. You don't want to learn from him, right? You're then just condoning his behavior and his standards because you're underneath him. As an intern, you are not the authoritative figure over the authorities. The head coach runs the show. And so I don't suggest working under people, if you have any control, that you don't want to be like. If you have that choice, then make it. If you don't have that choice, I'm super sorry, but the head strength coach that I worked under always said, you know, you can learn from any situation. If anything, you'll learn what you don't want to be, what will not fly in your facility, what you do not agree with, what is not a part of your philosophy, And I did have that experience in other internships. I hated going. It was not the experience that I wanted to have. I did not agree with their philosophy, but he said that to me, and at the time it pissed me off, right? Like, I'm venting, I'm complaining, and you're giving me a solution. Stop it. But it was true. And I did discover through that experience what my non-negotiables were. I will not have X, Y, and Z happen in my business. This is what I want to do. This is solidifying what I want to do, because this is what I don't want to do. Kind of a process of elimination, if you will. So again, I don't want to discount any experiences that you gals have had in the industry that were negative or inappropriate or whatever. I know that serious things do go down in the strength and conditioning world, inappropriate situations or belittling or suppressing or not taking female coaches seriously. But I think the ones that have made it and the ones that are really leaving a legacy and earning respect, take that shit with a grain of salt and move on. Okay, they do not let it stop them. So maybe that's a little tough love. Like I said, I don't want to discount any situation that may have happened. I'm not saying that they don't exist. I'm not saying that inappropriate comments don't exist. I'm not saying that belittling doesn't exist. I'm not saying that female strength coaches aren't undervalued in this industry. I'm simply saying there are positive actions that you can take to negate and navigate those situations, and that's on you. That is under your control. So I want to encourage you to own your confidence, your value, and the legacy that you want to leave on the world of strength and conditioning as a female. You know, make your yeses your yeses, make your no's, be authoritative with athletes, but also build that rapport. And I think women are so good at that. I think we're so good at caring for people before athletes, dressed modestly and professionally, and be consistent with that. That builds trust. That builds a standard with those athletes. And I'm not saying that any of that is easy. I'm not saying that it's an easy road to navigate, or that once you show up dressed modestly and professionally that everything is going to flip a switch. But I am saying that if you commit to that process, I think that you will see changes. I think that your mindset will change, and I think that you will get the respect that you truly are hoping for. Don't work under people that you don't want to work under, okay? Don't work for people you don't want to be like. Don't work for people who have a, I don't want to say a different philosophy than you, but one that is like completely outside of, you would never approve of what they're doing. But if you do have to work for someone that you don't necessarily agree with, make sure that you learn something from that situation. Okay, ladies. That is all I have for you today. It is a topic I'm very passionate about. It is a controversial topic. It's one I have a lot of experience with, and I hope that this was helpful / encouraging, maybe made you ask some questions. I hope you know you can leave the legacy that you want to in the world of strength and conditioning, that you can help pave the way for those younger women who, you know, this path will be more normal for them. It will be easier for them to be a female strength coach, or rather be a strength coach who just happens to be a female, right? That is the direction that we want to go. So I hope that this episode was helpful for you. If you liked the episode, please rate the podcast, give it 5 stars, leave me a review, and subscribe to the podcast. I would love to get in more people's ears. That's why I do a podcast, right? So please do those things. Rate, review the podcast, subscribe. And until next time, I am Annie Miller, and thank you so, so much for tuning into the FitsPro podcast.